Tasya Gyananjana Salakayam Chakshuran Miritam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhuttale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Juta Parakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagradatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitam Tvam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha Hare Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandho Jagatpate Upika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narotamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudirayat Nasta Prayasabhadrishu Nityam Bhagavata Sivayam Bhagavata Uttamasloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naistiki Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Nangayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinataranam Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinataranam As you have possibly noticed, there is no board, no verse for today's class. As we all know, today being very auspicious appearance day of His Divine Grace, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. With your kind blessings, without the blessings of the Vaishnavas, we cannot do anything. We will try to speak something. We are constantly being challenged in this material world, as you can see. Naturally, such a personality as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur plays a very important role and has a very important place within our Sampradaya, within our ISKCON society in particular, being the inspiration and spiritual master of the founder Acharya of our society, His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. There are so many things to be said. I thought I would try and select a few. One is in terms of, in order to appreciate and understand more clearly and more appropriately the exalted position of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, it is helpful for us to understand the exalted position of two other great personalities very directly and intimately connected with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And of course, that begins with the both, we could say, material father and spiritual father of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, His Divine Grace, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who was in many ways not only the spiritual father and material father, but also the main visionary personality who inaugurated something which practically had been forgotten. We all know the history of our Gaudiya Vaishnav tradition from the time of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who created a whole renaissance and established, introduced the bhakti movement. When we read certain writings, especially of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and that is naturally reflected in the writings of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and in those of Srila Prabhupada as well, we need to understand and keep in focus, keep in mind always that we have this great fortune, great and rare opportunity to be part of something very extraordinary. Kali Yuga normally means total full misery, increasing misery. Kali Yuga has been established for that purpose. All the most fallen souls will come in this age of Kali Yuga. And normally, Kali Yuga, there is no hope, actually, for living entities. But because, as we know, of the advent of Lord Chaitanya, the Yuga avatar, who introduced the Yuga Dharma. But that Yuga Dharma, during the time, of course, of Lord Chaitanya, was very strongly established and strongly preached personally by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his immediate followers, the Goswamis of Vrindavan. And then personalities like Shyamananda Pandit, Srinivas Acharya, and Narottam Das Thakur. But then, as we know, for about 200 years or so, the whole thing went kind of like, where is it? really came down and was practically, at the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, non-existent, or very heavily mutilated, changed, disrupted. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur restarted, rediscovered, redirected the mission of Lord Chaitanya. And he personally trained his son. Actually, he prayed, as we know. He prayed for a ray of Vishnu. Someone who could take up this mission that he had revived. And this was, of course, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who was known as Bimal Prasad in his early life. He was so fortunate to be born in a Vaishnava family. Srila Prabhupada, as we know, also writes, by some great fortune, I was also born of Vaishnava parents. And he got the personal training of such an exalted personality as Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, whom he considered not only as his material father, but understood his exalted, very exalted, elevated personality Acharya. And together they devised a plan to actually reverse Kali Yuga. I mean, to reverse Kali Yuga is not an easy task. But actually, that is the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that is what both Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur planned, and is based, we could say, established foundation, gave the essential teachings, and this was taken by our Srila Prabhupada. We should all remember, I believe we all know, most of us know, how Srila Prabhupada had very little direct association within, I mean, 5, 6, or 7 times he personally met and had exchanged with his spiritual master. Yet he was able to absorb, imbibe the whole mission of both Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Just like we have this very wonderful prayer, Sri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Sri Rupa Goswami. And this prayer very nicely explains, my dear Lord, let me try to enter and understand your most inner thoughts and feelings and desires. Unless we understand the inner desires of our present and previous acharyas, how we can actually take up and conduct properly the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a perfect visionary. And his grandson, Srila Prabhupada, was a perfect missionary by taking up this vision of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati to introduce on a worldwide basis what had been projected or had been predicted actually by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And we need to go back a little bit before Srila Prabhupada went to the Western countries, and to have a clear understanding of, because actually Prabhupada had everything planned out. The essential of what he would do, it was in his mind. It was clearly in his mind. So there's actually what we call a fourfold vision that Srila Prabhupada has given. Not only he has written this vision, he has also demonstrated by establishing this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and by beginning himself, by inaugurating himself, this fourfold vision. This fourfold vision of Srila Prabhupada is very much connected with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in the following four principles. Beginning with, books are the basis. Kindly follow the order. Second is, purity is the force. Third is, preaching is the essence. And four is, utility is the principle. There is an order. There is a scientific order for these four, we could say, maxims or instructions. And they are related with the fourfold vision that Srila Prabhupada put into writing. And for each and every single member of this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, we are duty bound as great fortunate souls who are inheriting, we are inheriting this mission and this vision as well. So Srila Prabhupada, way back in 49, and again in this very still, unfortunately still very less understood or even known essay which he has written and which appeared in the Back to Godhead magazine 1956, he repeats that same vision. And when he established his International Society for Krishna Consciousness, he also repeated or established the same. I'll come to that point. Something very important is that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and his son, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they endeavored, and they were very successful as well, to lay the foundation for what has now become an expansion of that vision of these two great personalities, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. But unless we keep in mind, unless we deeply understand what is that vision, then we will not be properly representing these personalities, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. We can even trace all of this back to the time of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who inaugurated, books are the basis. Actually, even closely connected with books is Harinam. Lord Chaitanya inaugurated the Harinam Sankirtan movement. And simultaneously, he ordered his most intimate disciples, the Goswamis, the six Goswamis, to go to Vrindavan and to write extensively books. And of course, we know within our ISKCON society, these two are intimately related. Srila Prabhupada referred to his books as the Brihat Mridanga, an expansion of the holy name which can go far and wide all over the world. The Goswamis in Vrindavan inspired very rich merchants, kings, to establish monumental temples, major temples of Vrindavan. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, similarly, he began what we are now following as well, these Gaur-mandal Parikrama and also Braja-mandal Parikrama, based on the Harinam. He also established 64 Mats, Gaurya Mat. And he very forcefully also preached and attracted so many people, thousands who became his initiated disciples, congregation. There's a very important letter which I'd like to read in a few minutes. But before that, I just want to summarize just very briefly this four-fold vision, which Srila Prabhupada actually connected with the four-fold, four-fold movements of Gandhi. Because Srila Prabhupada often refers to Gandhi's understanding of what he called village organization. and of course, spoke about that in various ways. The fourfold mission that Prabhupada identified, and he coined them very clearly. Number one being, he called it the Sankirtan movement, based on the holy name and books. If we just think of how the movement has started, we can follow this very easily. The second that he identified was deity worship movement. Prabhupada's words, deity worship movement, establishing, just like now, as has been referred to, we are sitting at a very strategic place when we're giving the Bhagavatam class. We can see the temple coming up. So building of temple is the second of the vision given by Srila Prabhupada and by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Bhaktivinoda Thakur as well. And the third is what Srila Prabhupada coined as spiritual initiation movement. Attracting people, developing a congregation, introducing, training individuals to become committed to the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by formally taking vows and accepting initiation. And the fourth movement that Prabhupada spoke about, he gave the title Classless Society Movement, which is referring actually to Varnashram. These four constitute a complete whole. And very important letter written by Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, which I'd like to read right now, which is actually making reference to these points, you see. Coming back to these four, we could say maxims, books are the basis. Books are the basis is the beginning, is referring to the first. Just like when you build any construction, you have to have four pillars. Then you're going to have a solid foundation. So that first one is actually the transcendental literatures. This is the letter written by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He begins by addressing the letter Saraswati, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. This letter is very closely connected with Mayapur, actually. I mean, our whole movement is, of course, intimately connected. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu having appeared here, and the whole inspiration of what we are trying to do all over the world is from Mayapur, Sridhar Mayapur. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes to his son, "People of this world who are proud of their aristocratic birth cannot attain real aristocracy. Therefore, they attack the pure Vaishnavas, saying they have taken birth in low-class families because of their sins." Thus, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, thus they commit offenses by thinking in this way. The solution to this problem is to establish the order of Daivi Varnashrama Dharma, something you have started doing. You should know that to be the real service to the Vaishnavas. Because pure devotional service conclusions are not being preached, all kinds of superstitions and bad concepts are being called devotion by such Soto Sampradayas as Sahajas and Atibari. Please always crush these anti-devotional concepts by preaching pure devotional conclusions and by setting an example through your personal conduct. Then he goes on to another aspect. Please make great effort so you can start the parikrama of Sri Dham Navadvip. We're mentioning a few minutes about parikrama. As soon as possible, it is by those actions that everyone in this world will receive Krishna bhakti. Please try very hard to make sure that the service to Sri Mayapur will become a permanent thing and will become brighter and brighter every day. The real service to Sri Mayapur can be done by acquiring printing presses, distributing devotional books, and preaching congregational chanting, not reclusive bhajan. Please do not neglect to serve Sri Mayapur or to preach for the sake of your own reclusive bhajan. And he makes one very important point at the end also. I had a special desire to preach the significance of such books as Srimad Bhagavatam, Satsandarbha and Vedanta Darshan. You have to accept the responsibility. Sri Mayapur will prosper if you establish an educational institution there. We know that part of the plan here in Mayapur, of course, is to establish a university. In this essay on Gita Nagari, Srila Prabhupada mentions two important points amongst others. That the first thing one should do in any community is establish a temple of Radha and Krishna, whereby everyone can become focused on the principal activity of devotional service. And the second most important thing, as soon as a temple is established, one should introduce educational facilities, educational institutions. We have a dual kind of challenge. We have many challenges. But there's a dual challenge which sometimes, as devotees, we get confused. That dual challenge I'm referring to is, this was nicely brought out actually in a breakout session yesterday. Our Balabhadra Prabhu just made a very, what I thought, was a very significant statement. He was mentioning how, you know, as devotees, we are meant to be part of two leelas. The Gaur Leela, here we are in Sridhar Mayapur, and the Krishna Leela, which is primarily in Vrindavan. Gaur Leela gives main emphasis on bhakti, the bhakti cult, devotional service. Gaur Leela, of course, encompasses many things, but Gaur Leela is in Vrindavan. So Balabhadra Prabhu was pointing out how we should be cautious, we should be careful not to forget, I mean, what Vrindavan is meant to be, or what is Vrindavan. And we need to actually balance these two. As a matter of fact, very often devotees are perplexed. You know, Prabhupada arranges, as we know, Gaur Purnima festival means we first come to Mayapur, Dham, and then after the Mayapur festival we go to Vrindavan, Dham. We are sometimes perplexed because these are two Dhams. And the bhava, the sentiments are different, although related. Now, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, because sometimes that dilemma is there for devotees, you know, should I go to Mayapur Dham? Should I go, because I have so many, only a few days, should I go to Mayapur Dham or should I go to Vrindavan Dham? Of course, we know that both are present also. Mayapur Dham is also present in Vrindavan Dham, and vice versa. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has nicely explained and revealed in the Brahma Samhita, in one of the many wonderful purports, that for the followers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there will be no such dilemma, because once having perfected our lives as devotees, once we become qualified to go back to the spiritual world, to Goloka Vrindavan, in some very inconceivable way, as followers and devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we will be simultaneously be able to participate in Gaura Leela and Krishna Leela. That is some special mercy that the devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the followers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have. On this very important day of the appearance of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who was known as referred to by our Srila Prabhupada as Vaikuntha Man, as the Singha Guru, Lion Guru. He was referred to as a very extraordinary personality. Some contemporary persons refer to him as a walking encyclopedia. He had so much knowledge. He read so many books. He was in Tripura, wasn't it, at the palace. I don't know the name of the king at that time, but he spent some years very deeply reading, studying. So we all know he was such so well versed in English that most of us who are from English background feel a little ashamed to read his books, because he uses so many words that we cannot understand. It's very difficult to read his books. Prabhupada has been very merciful to write to us in a very, I would say, more easily accessible language. We are part of this sampradaya, and we are inheriting this mission of these two great personalities, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And our Srila Prabhupada has given all of the purports. We always have to remind ourselves, all these wonderful purports given by Srila Prabhupada, he has taken the essence from all of these seven major acharyas who have given their commentaries on the Bhagavatam. So it's like, I mean, super powerful. You cannot get such kind of purports, and that's why Srila Prabhupada's books are so important and so effective when people come in contact with them. So we should pray. I am praying on this day. I invite everyone also to pray for the mercy of such an exalted personality, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, on his appearance day today, so that we can more clearly understand the whole spectrum of what is this mission that our founder Acharya, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, is has introduced through this ISKCON society. And the more we can clearly understand, more deeply understand this mission of Srila Prabhupada, then naturally we will be more effective in assisting him, isn't it? The perfection and success of a devotee is to please Guru, is to understand the desires of Guru. As Prabhupada says, that first class devotee is someone who doesn't even have to be asked to do something, he'll understand. Whereas the fourth class devotee has to be told, and even then he doesn't do it. And then there's in between. So we should aspire to become first class servants, first class followers, first class disciples and grand disciples of Srila Prabhupada. We have this very great mission. There's no mission greater than actually this mission of spreading Krishna consciousness, because only Krishna consciousness, as Prabhupada on so many occasions has explained, can actually save the world, because it is only Lord Chaitanya's mission that has the knowledge and solution for properly redirecting present day misdirected society. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. I'd appreciate a few comments or questions if there are any.
Well, you said, or you promised us that you would explain the books are the basis and the purity is the four, how they are related with each other, how they evolve from...
Thank you, Maharaj. Just very briefly, books are the basis, that's an easy one. Transcendental books and their extension, the holy name, which relates to the first mission, vision of Srila Prabhupada. Purity is the force. Unless we are pure, unless we become brahmanas, qualified brahmanas, we cannot worship the deities, we cannot establish temples. So the second one requires purity. Purity is a force. When we are having the holy name, when we have these books, and when we are purified, then we can preach effectively. So number three, preaching is the essence. Preaching means bringing people, attracting. That means, within our society, it means congregational preaching. So preaching is a force. And utility is a principle, is number four, it's obvious. In the beginning we all thought that was the situation. In the beginning, when this movement started, all the devotees were living in the temples. Then gradually they started going out. It was natural. Majority of devotees presently today in ISKCON are outside, they're part of the congregation. But Srila Prabhupada wanted to go beyond that as well and encompass the entire world. So utility as a principle is referring to varnashram, is referring to the natural system given by Krishna, how to organize not only our own ISKCON society, but how to organize the whole of society. So varnashrama dharma is, you see the dual, there's Bhagavad Dharma and there's varnashrama dharma, and they are meant to go hand in hand. And if we lose sight of that, or if we don't balance that, then we're in trouble. We're in difficulties. So these four maxims are directly related to these four, vision given by our acharyas.
Are these four guidelines also related with the Bhagavad Marga path and the Pancharatrika Marga? The Pancharatrika Vidhi path?
Yes, there is relation. Bhagavat. Well, actually, the first three give a special importance and emphasis. Books, establishing temples, and congregation. These three especially are connected with the brahminical aspect, which is primarily Bhagavad Dharma. And in many ways, because the fourth one is, unless we understand some basic principles about Kshatriya and the other Varnas, then we will have difficulties with that fourth one. And we are actually. We are having difficulties with that fourth one. So there's a very important need for us to make the difference and also the connection between Bhagavad Dharma and Varnashrama Dharma. That requires a little bit of, quite a bit of discussion, but it's something important which we have tended to possibly not sufficiently, I would say, discuss. But there is relation, definitely. Yes, microphone. This will be the last question because it's 9 o'clock.
Yeah. Hare Krishna. Maharaj, I had heard that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he encouraged preaching, especially in the heart of cities,
yes,
like our Bagh Bazar temple in Calcutta.
Yes.
Did Srila Bhakti Siddhanta also establish farm communities or encourage simple living, high thinking, this Varnashram development?
We need, to my knowledge, he did not, as our Srila Prabhupada has spoken so often about, and as Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also, we need to understand what is called time, place, and circumstance. There was, and there still is in many ways, you know, there's an ongoing developing, there's a development that is taking place. And just like in the beginning of our movement, the main emphasis was actually on book distribution. Although Srila Prabhupada started some farm communities, but the main thrust, and there were statements, and we are reminded very often, if you're not doing book distribution, you're in Maya, and you know, nothing pleases me as much as book distribution. These things are there. But we need to keep the overall, you know, a thrust of what the actual mission is. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta began to introduce Varnashrama aspects, number one, by taking sannyas, by introducing Brahminical Diksha, initiation. So in other words, the process had begun, and Srila Prabhupada is continuing that process. You see? So we always have to be cautious, just like sometimes we quote certain sayings from Srila Prabhupada out of context. In a similar way, when we look at these three personalities and their historical development, we have to see, and that's the quality of a Brahmana. Brahmana is meant to be broad, you know, minded, and having, you know, developed broad vision. That's not always easy. It's not always obvious. But it's very important to keep that principle in mind. And I would say that the beginning was, for Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, was especially, he emphasized on books, on printing press, and on the holy name. In those days, it was another point also, I mean, the last point I'll make, the kind of deterioration that is existing today, where there is a very, I would say, dangerous, it has reached, you know, beyond dangerous level, where we have this massive shift. It's a global shift from agrarian lifestyle to urban lifestyle, which is actually, if one analyzes properly, against the principles of Dharma. It doesn't mean that we don't live or preach in the cities. But we have to look at things in as broad a way as possible, then we can understand why certain acharyas have done certain things at some particular point. But interesting question, an important one as well. I'll close here. Thank you very much. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai Srila Bhakti.